And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, I think. I'm looking at a preview screen that's a little bit munged, but that's okay. It's Tuesday, January 14, 2025. In another 6 days, and well, 5 days, and we'll wake up, and we'll have a new leadership, new president in office. I was this weekend in my haze, I happened to see on social media all of this information about the sun and about this. The sun broke, I think. Of course, you couldn't tell it by me. I have not seen the sun since, I don't know, October up here in the great tundra known as Western Pennsylvania. But having seen that, I immediately reached out to the expert in all things like this, and that is Stan. That person is Stan Deos from standale.com. Standale.com. Folks, do me a favor and bookmark standale.com. And also, make sure you sign up for his monthly meetings. You will, I'm telling you, you won't regret it. The one-on-one with Stan and the information that he provides is great. Plus, you get to support his work, and that's all important. Also, Dare to Prepare. Now is a time to prepare. Hour two, we're going to be talking about that. But with no further ado, let's bring on Stan Dale from standale.com. And I apologize for my a little bit nasally tone, but we'll get through this. Stan, how are you?
Oh, I'm better than you are. I heard that you'd had COVID, a pretty nasty bout of it, and I'm very sorry to hear that.
No worries. It was Stan, the weirdest thing. I got up from Monday's show. I was, I don't know, walking, anyway, leaving the office, and it was as if somebody turned on a phaser, you know, from Star Trek, on stun, and it was like, man, what just, you know, and from there, so I only, I mean, that was a week ago, really this morning. So, however, I'm back. I'm fine, and let's rock.
All right. Yeah, look, there's been a lot of things happening with the sun. As you know, I watched that like a hawk. And over the last 12 months, the sun has been increasingly unstable. The surface of it has been emitting a lot of X-class flares, coronal mass ejections, and none Earth-based, you know, or Earth-facing that would cause damage like the Carrington event. What was it, 1859? You sent me before the show a link to a massive hole that opened up in the sun. It's these dark holes. In fact, Eric, can you take my screen share there? There you go. Okay. Can you see my cursor moving around?
I hope you can.
Okay. This, we get coronal holes like this periodically. This one here is a pretty long one. And what happens is that the sunspot activity out here in these lighter areas is separated by this canyon, this big tear in the surface of the sun that we normally see. And a lot of solar wind is now being broadcast at the Earth because of this. This is a flare, and that's a coronal hole, two different things, but it gives you the idea of the intensity of it looking at that that picture there. Now, I think I can... let me see. I'm going to stop sharing the screen and go to another screen, Eric, over to my, Photoshop screen. Now, this is looking at that hole that you saw in that, that last, image. And that hole is along here. And, you can see these white lines are magnetic field lines that connect, you know, north and south poles all over the sun. Over here where it's very bright, it means that there's a lot of, activity, possibly coronal mass ejections and possibly X-class flares that are forming. And this is going to come moving this way toward where it's Earth-facing. Now, at the equator here, the sun makes a complete, cycle every 28 days, which means that what we're seeing here is 14 days worth across, and this is half of that, or 7 days. So this is moving toward us, and 7 days from this picture, which is, you know, today, around the 21st, probably a couple days before that, 19th or the 21st this month, that these flare areas are going to be Earth-directed, right aimed at Earth. If they produce anything, we're probably going to feel it. These are white areas here are the ones that have passed. I tell you from looking at the past episodes of this that this white area here is going to come around here, but it's going to be followed by a lot more. Now, what you may not be able to see, I'm going to outline here, is my cursor goes here and down like this and then back like this. And if you look at this dark area, it's like a boat wake or a boat, and it's moving through the plasma of the sun. You see the wake pattern spreading out behind like this. It's a rather interesting concept, but that's what was happening. Now, this is looking at the magnetic fields of the sun. Unfortunately, we can't look at the ones we normally use because a water line burst in the server room at the university that was doing all of the daily magnetic field images and updates on the sun. And so we've been blind for several weeks now, then not knowing other than what we can get here. Now, I think this one here is, let's see what that is. That's today at, yeah, at 2100 hours at GMT. Okay, let's put this in here like this. Notice that in the top half of the sun, the sunspot pairs have one polarity followed by another one. Now, this is blue to orange-yellow in the northern hemisphere, which is kind of like this now. It's split right now because the north and south pole of the sun are moving. But you'll see that all those in the northern part are led by blue followed by orange-yellow. Southern hemisphere, they are preceded by yellow-orange and then followed by blue-green. Now, these areas will periodically collide or reverse. And if, say, what's here in the southern hemisphere, which is tilted, if this thing that's moving around now and be here, you know, in 5 to 7 days, if it forms a collision where two reds face each other rather than red-green, if they back up like that, they make turbulent eddies inside the surface of the sun, which rips off, you know, solar flares and coronal mass ejections like crazy. Again, you can almost see this wake pattern I'm telling you about. If you follow the greeny lines like this, like that, you'll see this wake pattern as this area of the sun is moving around, and the polar regions orbit at the pole, I think, at around 32 days, and this is at 28 days. So it's spinning faster at the equator and spinning things back like this in the wake pattern. So going on that basis, we might see that this will be here in, let's see, at 16. Yeah, still about 5 to 7 days. This will be in an area here that will be presented toward Earth, which is not good. There you can see the red and going to green, blue. This area, I can tell you right now, is going to be interesting, more interesting than the one that we're looking at up here, because it's in an area elevated above the equatorial plane, which is aimed at Earth when it goes off. This will be a glancing blow if we get anything from this, but this could be problematic.
Okay. In 5 to 7 days, you said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So 6 days from now is the inauguration. Okay.
Yeah. It'd be fireworks on the sun.
You can't make this up. I mean, what might we expect, you know, from that? Communication disturbances, that yeah. kind of stuff? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we made the EMP shield for, because, you know, we could see an EMP pulse come, a long one from the sun. Nuclear EMP pulses last maybe, you know, a half a millionth of a second or so. Solar ones last hours, to give you an idea. And that really is going to try our grid system and grounding system and everything else. And if we get a direct coronal mass ejection that lasts for hours, like the Carrington event, that can destroy our power grid, destroy electronics, start fires all over the place because of shorts that will occur. And it will be much worse than California. And it won't be just the United States. It'll be the whole planet. There will be fire starting everywhere. And if the coronal mass ejection equals that of 1859, Eric? I forget the Carrington event. Yeah. That, because we didn't have all the power grid and stuff we've got now, and all the electronics, that only caused the voltage to rise several thousand volts on the telegraph lines and to leap off into fields of, you know, corn or whatever and catch fire. And it burned the hands severely of many of the telegraph operators because the high voltage charge from the sun came down the telegraph wires and into their telegraph keys and burned them like crazy. But now, if that happens, it will be the end of civilization for a long time because we won't have power to all kinds of things. Sometimes I wonder, I really do, about the Bible talking about the Battle of Armageddon. And they say, you know, the blood it will be from the bridle of the horse depths down, you know. And I thought, horse, what happened to the tanks and the aircraft and things like that? They don't mention it. And I wonder if we get hit with this kind of a thing between now and the Armageddon battle, and everything has gone back to the 19th century, you know, horse and buggy and that kind of stuff. It's just a crazy thought, but we don't seem to see descriptions of the kind of warfare that we have the potential for now with nuclear bombs and that kind of stuff. And how do you burn the weapons of war unless they're wooden, maybe bows and arrows, crossbows, maybe the compressed wood thing that the Russians have developed for their weapons? How can you burn the weapons of war for seven months or seven years? Anyway, they're going to be burned in that tribulation period afterwards. You know, we're not hearing about these metal things, you know, like they said, like weapons made from, you know, a staff metal, you know, from what the Romans used, you know, spears. But they don't seem to be that way. They're talking about combustible weapons and how they bury the dead for maybe 7 months or so, and they have to send out special teams to do it. Why? Because are they radiation polluted? Are they bio polluted? You know, there are things that you can look at and by inference see that there are going to be some big changes between now and the Battle of Armageddon, which I hope and I think we will not be here to see. Anyway, that's I digress, but that was my thought on that.
Wow. Okay. I was surprised at the social media, specifically X, making such a huge deal about this. I was surprised that people noticed, and then I was surprised at the reaction throughout the weekend about this and the concern. But it's warranted, obviously.
Yeah, and so. Bad time for them to have an accidental water pipe burst in the server room. I guess it could have happened, but I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
They're putting up pizza boxes on the windows of that room right now.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there was one report, I think it was probably 2 or 3 days ago, that said that this is the hottest that year we've had over last year, which was the hottest before in recorded history. And today it's even hotter. You know, this year's even hotter than last year. It's lining up to be a really bad one. And so that's, you know, people are saying, wow, why is it so hot? And it has to be explained to the people eventually. But is it? I mean, you and I have talked about this before. You don't, as a ruler of a nation like this, or of Russia or China, or, you know, larger nations, you don't come out and say, hey, look, you know, we've been studying the sun. I hadn't told you, but we thought maybe there's going to be a big problem. It's going to hit the climate. You come out and you say, well, look, there's climate change and global warming occurring, and it's, you know, cow gas and car gas and, you know, human endeavor. That we can control. So if we just fix these things, we can fix this global warming and stabilize the climate. But that's not the case. Global warming is occurring on every planet in our solar system, not just Earth. And we're not out there polluting those planets at the moment. So this global warming is from the sun direct. And it's something we can't fix. This is an act of God that's happening in the sun at the moment. And we know from the revelation of John that there are going to be solar-related events like brilliant burst of light and like a dust cloud being thrown off to, you know, from the sun and passing through our stellar system and blocking out the light of the moon and the stars, you know, to a point that maybe where they're two-thirds of normal light or something of that nature. This brilliant burst of light is going to be seven times brighter sunlight than normal. And if you look at a hot day and multiply it by seven, you can see why it's going to burn green grass, plants, boil the sea and kill fish on the side of the Earth that's facing the sun. That's about a third of the planet's surface area that will get hit directly by a burst like that. And then following that will be a dust cloud coming through the system, like the Old Testament prophet said. We are seeing the things that the Bible is predicting at this time. That's just why I've been paying attention to earthquakes and to solar phenomena from, 20, 22 years ago, is because I think that we're going to see these events happening in our lifetime. It helps you to kind of generally pinpoint the time of the tribulation period. And it's if it doesn't happen now, in the next 2 or 3 years, if it doesn't start now, I think it will be probably another 10, 11 years before the sun gets into this position again. But I think we're seeing it failing right now. So,
yeah, have you seen the sun? How can I phrase that question? Have you seen this happen on the sun before at this level? Or
no, no, definitely okay. not. Definitely right. not. And I've mentioned this before. In 1958, the Russians were doing research on the sun, IGY, physical year, International Geophysical Year, 1958. And they published a report on the state of the sun. It had already burned up half of its hydrogen. So you think, oh, well, we got billions of years to worry about it. But they were publishing that report based on their knowledge of how altered the time is in our universe. In other words, the universe isn't 15 billion years old. We're talking hundreds of thousands of years. It's a very young universe, and things are happening faster than we've been told. And when that hydrogen had burned up half its supply, it's continued to diminish rapidly. And the next reaction that will occur on the sun is a helium-helium fusion reaction, which will change the light of the sun from golden yellow to what? To bright white blue. And if you remember 20, 30 years ago when we were younger, when we went out on the beach, the sun was golden yellow, and we enjoyed it. But now it's blue-white to where it hurts your eyes out there. And this is because in 1992, we saw two new ultraviolet signals coming from the sun, bandwidths. And those are the ones that are going to produce this blue-white light in the sun. How long that lasts, I don't know. But, I've talked to a couple of solar physicists about this, and they have no explanation for why it's occurred. And again, if you were the government, whatever country, the world, you couldn't tell people, oh, look, we're pretty sure that the end of the world's coming, but don't panic. We might be able to save some of you. You would create instant anarchy across the planet. If you're looking as a global leader saying, my job is to preserve humanity as best I can, you would say, okay, I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to make preparation underground. I'm going to put seeds in an Arctic food storage unit. I'm going to have underground tunnels and fail safes to preserve the core of humanity that we want to come out of this disaster, which is coming. And so to do that, you wouldn't tell everybody officially. You'd let nuts like Stan, like me, and others who are talking about these changes in the sun, pontificate on these things. And because if people got excited about what I was saying or others like me, they'd say, oh, look, these are just amateurs. They don't know anything. They can't look at the sun and say, oh, that's unusual. Their eyes must not work. But, we can be put down, and any anarchy that would ensue from what I've said, they can quell just by disavowing me. Or people like me that are looking at the same data, and I talk to a lot of them on the internet or on email, and getting the same conclusion: the sun's in trouble. So that's why the great scam is out there. And President-elect Trump is right when he says it is a scam. It is not the truth, and there's a reason for it not be the truth. I think I'd wonder if I were in charge, would I do the same thing?
Good point. I think there might have been a Twilight Zone episode similar to what you're describing, but of course, lately, what doesn't represent one of those? Okay.
Think about this. Let me say, USGS engineers in the Philippine Pinatubo, they saw data on their sensors on Pinatubo that said, look, it's probably going to erupt, We probably ought to say something. And they held off because if they called a Pinatubo eruption, which would have meant evacuating millions of people there, and it didn't happen, they were discredited and, they'd certainly get fired. But, finally they said, look, it's so close. We're going to have to call it. And so in spite of the fact they might lose their jobs, they called it, and saved a lot of lives. But that's what we're facing with now on a bigger scale is, does the, you know, the reigning rulership of the planet say, well, we're going to die, you know, soon, we think, but maybe not, you know. And for them, getting fired is not the issue. It's going to be civil disorder and chaos if it's officially stated from the existing governments of the world. And so, again, I say if I were them,
yeah,
I'd have to just say, look, let's save as many people as we can on lifeboat Earth and not give them a reason to go anarchistic. You know, let us prepare to rescue as many as we can when it does happen.
What would, just real quick, and I think you described it already, but what would something like this look like if, you know, 5 to 7 days from now, hey, we get hit with the nasties? Okay, so would it be just, you know, lights out, or lights out fires and holy crap, everything's burning everywhere? Or, you know, you walk outside and all of a sudden, you know, your skin falls off because, you know, you're outside? I mean, what?
Well, depending upon what radiation comes, what frequency comes out of the coronal mass ejections and flares, if they're now extreme ultraviolet, you may want to stay indoors because of the damage to your skin. When we've had ozone holes over the Earth, I'm just trying to think of the island group up near the Yucatan Peninsula, south of there. They got hit with solar radiation that poked through a hole in the ozone layer. And as a result, during several days, there were whelps coming on people's skins. They were having nausea and diarrhea and were having to go indoors to shield themselves from the ultraviolet light. So if we have a CME like we're talking about, or multiple flares, certainly going out is not going to be clever. But our bigger concern is going to be that all communication, all cell phones, all TV, all power to your houseboat and everything stops dead in the water. And at that point in time, if it hits just our country, then we're totally at the mercy of our enemies because we have no working defense systems at all. And that could happen very quickly. Now, that's why you know, my partner, Tim Carty, rest his soul, we developed the EMP shield to help houses, businesses, nuclear reactors, certain naval facilities and whatever, to be able to endure a coronal mass ejection and pass it to the Earth ground and not let it burn up those facilities or our homes and stuff like that. But we haven't sold enough of them to protect, you know, 300 million people. It's just impossible. So there are going to be people who will lose their power. And also, not only will you lose power, because a CME produces like 60,000 volts per square meter coming down onto the Earth, it is going to catch fires in the wiring inside people's homes and in businesses. It's all going to catch fire. And in fact, I tell people, even with an EMP shield, just in case, get yourself 20 or 30 of these small fire extinguishers and put them there for your neighbor or for yourself, because your neighbor is going to go down if he doesn't have an EMP shield. And there, even with an EMP shield, there are possibilities that it might fail because of the voltage levels. The Chinese are boosting the output of theirs, but the sun is an unknown. I mean, how high is it going to be? So you need to do what you can to protect yourself. And certainly, I would say fire extinguishers are going to be the order of the day. Stock them up. There's just going to be so many things. I mean, we don't have the Santa Ana winds, but, you know, Wow.
Yeah. So, Eric the Tech, don't wrap your lips around the main coming into the house. Wow.
No.
That's amazing.
Let me see if I can, while we're talking here, I'm going to pull up my browser and see if I can find a thing here where the planets are today. This is helping us tell about things that are going to happen, too. Let's see. Planet Sun. I've got so many fields to look through here. Just a second here. Well, I'll look it up this way. Planets today. When in doubt, use the search engine. Here we go. Okay, I'll get this up. And Eric, you can screen share this here. Where do I screen share this here? I forget. Hold on just a second. That one. Okay. This is at theplanetstoday.com. And I'm opening this up to look at where the planets are. Here's the sun. Are we? Yeah, we're sharing this. Okay. I'm going to run this down a bit. And this is for month 115. This is for the 15th. I guess I'm on UTC time. But anyway, this is where the planets will be at this time. Now, the interesting thing is that when these large planets like Jupiter, and Saturn and Uranus, and Neptune, when they're over on this side of the sun, their gravitational pull is stretching the surface of the sun and thinning it on this side and thickening the surface on this side. Now, Earth is, I guess, here. What is that blue thing there? Anyway, now, what I'm going to do is dial in. I think it's 1859. I think we decided to see if we could get where it was in the Carrington event area here. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Earth. Okay, sometime during 1859, you see all these heavy planets here on one side of the sun, and the Earth is between them and the surface of the sun, which is probably when that coronal mass ejection occurred that was so damaging.
By the way, that was September 1st, 1859, if you want to be really
okay,
concise.
Okay, let's do that, because it changes the position considerably. September 1, 2 hours, okay, proceed. Now, this is where they were exactly when that Carrington event occurred. Oh, yeah, it makes a big difference. Here's the Earth here, and all these heavies over there stretching this side of the sun. Now, I am of two minds whether a compressed surface of the sun, like over here is, versus a decompressed surface of the sun opposite where all the big planets are pulling the surface of the sun that way. But that's where they were then. And you had this triangle of heavies all pulling on the surface of the sun, with the exception of Neptune, of course. Now, we go back to today, 2025, 1, and let's say 15, and proceed. Now, today's look at the planets shows the Earth here and the heavies over here, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, all pulling on the sun in this kind of wedge shape. Now, in just a few weeks or maybe a couple months, the Earth will move around here and be directly opposite all this mass concentration over here, which means that the surface of the sun facing us periodically will be thin. It will be in turbulence to the point it can throw off flares and coronal mass ejections through a thinned surface of the sun. I think I can move this along by changing the time here, speed here. Let's just move it up here a bit. It's too slow. Let's go faster. Okay. You can see the date happening up there at the top.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just about to be opposite where these things will start to affect us. Okay. About there. Okay. So on the 5th of February, it looks like, we'll be in a position here that's exactly opposite all the heavies that are pulling on the surface of the sun. So between now and then, and a little bit after then, probably a 2 or 3 week period before and after that date, we're going to see a lot of activity in the sun, in my opinion. I do stress that. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll just stop that screen share now and get back to you. Am I back onto you here? Yeah.
Very interesting on that. That's
yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting, yes. And we will all be blown away.
Yeah. The fact that you said that you have not seen the sun in that state before, as shown at the beginning, that's a little bit disconcerting, given the fact that you watch this all of the time. Okay, well. And now it's a party, I guess, or will be.
Yeah, and listen, I just got an update from the Israel News Desk. Jerusalem is to free thousands of terrorists in hostage deal, the PLO official claims. Now, you know, I know that there's a peace deal coming between the PLO and between Gaza Strip people, Palestinians, and Israel. President-elect Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, in league with Mohammed bin Salman, a prince of Saudi Arabia, have been putting together a package to get 40 surrounding Arab nations around Israel to form a peace treaty like the Abraham Accords. And one of the things they're going to do is settle the problem with the Gaza Strip and start rebuilding the government of the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians, run by civilians and no terrorists allowed, with an official group of observers from the 40 nations and from the United States and whoever else, to be sure that they don't elect any terrorists to government when they turn it over to the people of Palestine. Now, the initial news story that comes out today about them about forming a solution to that is what Jared Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman have been saying. Look for this. We're going to settle the problem between Israel and the terrorists, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah and that. And in the wake of that, what we're going to do is put at first $1 billion into the Gaza Strip and into the West Bank to help rebuild after all the fighting that's occurred. And that's going to happen. Now, what the terrorists are offering to Israel in this news article is incredible. Let me just get down here. On Sunday, the head of the Palestinian group claimed that the initial stage of potential ceasefire deal with Hamas could entail the freeing of 25 Israeli captives in exchange for 1,248 Palestinian security prisoners, including 200 serving life sentences. Is that fair? It's coming. The peace treaty will be there, and we won't like the results of it. But
wait. What were those numbers again? I mean,
25 Israeli captives from Hamas in exchange for 1,248 Palestinian security prisoners, including in that 200 serving life sentences for really bad crimes.
Hmm.
Gee, I wonder if they have to deliver them alive or not. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, it's bad. It's just really bad.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that, to any part of that.
I was listening to the Pete Hegseth inauguration or confirmation, sorry.
Yeah, four and a half hours worth of fun on that.
Oh, there were some incredible moments. I mean, like when Pocahontas was talking about generals and retiring and that kind of stuff. And Hegseth, well, there's one thing wrong with that. I'm not a general. She went, oh, you can see the blush on her face. Duh.
I got to tell you something, Stan. I watched the entire confirmation hearing, and I gotta say, I've never in my life seen. I got done watching it, and I don't know what I watched. I mean, the Maisie from Hawaii, Pocahontas, and a few others. My goodness, Warren, and I'm trying to think the two others. Lit him up. But you know, I don't think he gave a bad answer. Well, one, the Ocean constellation of countries. But other than that, I don't think he gave a bad answer. So,
what now, when you say the Ocean group of countries,
he couldn't identify which countries.
Oh, that wasn't Oceania, was it? Like the Pacific group of island nations?
I believe it's not an acronym. It's a group of countries, and pardon me, I really did not look up the actual composition of the countries that form that. I don't want to say alliance, but that group of countries. But I'm not sure how many people could answer that question. You know, which countries comprise the the Ocean Alliance or Ocean group of countries. But anyway,
let me just pull up the.
But man, while you're doing that, for the next hour, I got a couple of clips. But my goodness, one was just fantastic of a senator. I believe it was a closing statement of a senator talking about some of the human frailties. Folks, if you haven't seen it, stick around. I mean, it was a fabulous response. But yeah, this is crazy stuff. But
well, now Oceania, if that's what he's talking about, Oceania. I don't know what OCN is, but Oceania is north and east of Australia and above New Zealand, and it includes the Cook Islands, French Polynesia, that kind of Guam, where we have a base. You know, maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know. Yes, it's not clear. Maybe they'll tell us eventually. What I was going to say, listening to him, you know, say Hexa say about needing to develop new technologies to catch up with our enemies and exceed them. You know, in 2003. Just after I'd been in the country a couple of years from coming back from Australia, I put together a proposition to DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and I submitted it, a new kind of propulsion, which was not antigravitic. It was entrainment underwater propulsion for submarines and for torpedoes and that kind of stuff. And they said, well, you can go ahead and submit it, but, I mean, we haven't called for a paper on it, so, you know, good luck. And eventually I did get it in there, and I did get an answer back. The guy that the Navy officer that they got to review my application says, no, look, I'm working on something else called the Loki Project, L-O-K-I, steam-powered underwater, you know, attack vessel. And so they just dropped me. But I'm going to show you. I'll put it into my Photoshop in a second here. The theory that I explained to them and showed them how to build, you know, test models of, which I'd done and operated, and they rejected it just out of hand, which was sad because there are a lot of people like myself that have, you know, good ideas. They had them during World War II, and Churchill used a lot of them. And there must be some way to reach out to civilians here now to give ideas to solve certain problems quietly. But anyway, let me show you. Let's see where the share button is here. I'll get my screen up here. That's Photoshop share. Okay. Now, I've told this story a number of times. When I was out in the garden playing with the water hose, I got bored, you know, watering the bushes, just standing there, you know, watering them. And it was sandy soil. And so, you know, I dipped the nozzle down into the wet sand, you know, just doodling. And suddenly, the nozzle shooting out the water from the garden hose sucked itself right into the sand, into the mud. And I pulled it back out, and I felt the thrust of the hose, you know, pushing back against me when the water was free to flow in the air. But when it went into that wet sand, it went like gangbusters forward and down into the sand. Now, this illustration we've got here shows just as I put a, you know, about a 2 gallon bucket of water out, and I put the hose, held it back up here toward the top so that it was limp, and it was pushing its way back toward the figure 7 sign there. And I lowered it down slowly down to where the nozzle just touched the surface of the water in that bucket. Wow! It just sucked it right out of my hand, straight to the bottom like this. And that was entrainment propulsion, because what happened is this high-speed water, relative to the bucket of water, curled like this and around, as you see here on the right side, around the nozzle and sucked it right to the bottom of the bucket. This is without hitting the bucket. It just sucked it through the water. That means it's like when you're in a motorboat in a river or lake, And you say you're doing 35 knots, and you put your hand out to the side of the boat, it'll darn near rip your arm off from the hardness of the water because of the inertia. When you're traveling through it, it's really hard. And the same thing happens when you have a high-speed water hose. The water is hard, and it reflects back from it and forms this curl. Now, this is what it looked like. I put it in another kind of a container with a see-through windows on it. And when the water hose is underwater and shooting water out this way, I see that it curves back and forms this plane, this circular plane that is fat here and thin out there. And that bends around as you let the hose move. It bends this way and this way around that, but it's not leaving a shock wave. It's not going, the hose is not kicking backwards. It's sucking forward. An amazing thing. So I looked at what the Germans had done with their rockets. And these are all things I told DARPA at the time. The V-1, V-2 had a problem when they didn't allow for ground effect curl. Here's your missile there. It shoots out this high speed, thrust, ejection from the combustion in the rocket. It hits the ground, bounces up around like this, and puts downward pressure on the rocket. And there are surviving films of the German B-1, B-2 testing where that missile would lock itself to the ground, rock back and forth, and explode, wouldn't take off because its own exhaust was curling around and putting pressure on it here. So when they changed it and raised this up higher and put a deflection cone, like we use at NASA for the space launches, where the thrust, from the nozzles is directed away from, from the craft itself, then it could break the ground effect curl and take off. And I was trying to tell them, if you use these things, it's a way that you can have very efficient torpedoes. You can, in fact, the Russians, at the time I was talking to the Russians, had revealed that they had the Skval torpedo that is launched at around 200 miles an hour out of the submarine, their submarine, and it has a rod at the front of it projecting out maybe 4 or 5 inches from the torpedo nose, and it has a little cross shape or sometimes a different shape that when they launch it at 200 miles an hour, it curls around and forms a steam bubble around the whole torpedo as it goes toward the target. They didn't like to use that because it was hard to control. They had to have a wire connected to it inside the bubble that formed, and it bounced around inside of the steam bubble. So in the end, they rejected it. But using this system here that I'm talking about, you can breaststroke your way. Let's just put that one over here and see if that one comes up. Yeah. Well, we don't want to do it that way. Hold on just a second. No place. Let's put it down here. There we go. Okay. Now, if you have a torpedo or a boat or submarine, and you can shoot a high-speed shell of water ahead, it'll curl back around like this and form a high-pressure area back here and a low-pressure area here. The Skval just tried to... You put the steam bubble and force its way into the water, made a lot of noise. It wasn't easy to control in the fly-by-wire. And anyway, that I could see that this would help our country. And I proposed not only these drawings, but I made some 3D models of stuff that I tested. You can see here how it would bring high-pressure water here and out the nozzle, spin back around like this, and the stuff coming from here would come around and like that and would bend into this vortex. It would form around it like that.
You made that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see if I've got
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, here was one of the first ones here. If I can just get Photoshop to come up. Come on. Let me have it here.
I'm going to borrow Standale's brain. I mean, wow. Okay.
I'm going to. There we go. This one I made down in Australia. That was the one we put under a test boat that we had there.
By the way, Eric the Tech, that's not what you think it is, okay? Go ahead, sir.
What does he think it is?
No, I'm kidding. my mind should not have gone there.
No, definitely not.
All right.
Let's see here. Let me get this picture in for you. Now, this is a theory drawing. Again, things that I gave to the DARPA. And all the details of where the vacuum forms, where the pressure areas form, where the curls form, how they form, everything else. And this sucks itself forward. Now, I got this idea on my own, but I did find a figure in a magazine from 1995. Let me see what the date of it is here. 1890. This was an artillery shell that the British designed and tested. And it had great accuracy, and it would travel much further than a normal, cannon shell. And the reason is they had this little breather hole coming out, a breather shell, if it were, you know, this is cut through the thing. This is a cutaway where when it started to move through the air, this artillery shell, the air came in here and they directed it back around into a chamber and out this way. And it formed a vacuum pressure, a vacuum area here and a pressure area here. And it was an entrainment form in its most primitive form, and it worked. They were able to get huge accuracy with their artillery shells using this kind of entrainment flow. And so when I saw that, I knew that I was correct, that even their stuff was doing exactly what I said would happen. And believe it or not, let's see here. What's that one look like? Okay. Yeah. Okay, here's another one that I built and tested. Here. And this taught me a lot, actually. Again, it would shoot high-pressure water from a motor head back in here with a propeller here, shoot water up this channel, up and out underneath this cupola here, and that would bend back around into the core where these tubes directed the flow. So we had an entrainment field like this, and that was in 1999.
My goodness!
And they just knocked, you know, offhand, threw it away. I mean, I didn't even talk to them about gravitic propulsion. That would have been too much for them to absorb, I'm sure. But you know, you could use the same kind of concept. Instead of making a torpedo shape, you can make a UAV shape. Like that. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Conceptually, that would work in the air as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, and you'd use much less fuel in your UAV or UAP structured like this.
Right.
However, I suspect from what we've had on these reports on the East Coast that it's not just a simple air thing. I think they're using gravitic propulsion because many of the reports say when people tried to chase them with their own drones and aircraft, that these things just zip away, but they couldn't catch them. And this kind of structure with a fan or a turbine or something like that would not behave in that characteristic. This is more a characteristic of anti-gravity. Yeah.
Wow. And if I can tap into your, while you're in this mindset, could this be, you know, the drone story has not gone away. It's just not getting the media attention that it was, but could we be seeing some sort of, anti-gravitics like this, could Standeo's designs be behind the drones that we're seeing? Or I'm just asking.
I never thought about that, actually.
I mean, if
I'd like to talk to them about it, but I mean, you know, if they're against you doing all this, you know, what chance do I have? I'm just a civilian, not a university professor or anything else. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to share it with the government and
just put on a sundress, Dan, and for this administration, put on a sundress and go in. And
what? A sundress?
A sundress, yeah. Just high heels, a sundress, and your plans. And I'm sure you'll get an appointment.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait for the government to change to what it should be.
But
here's
another
one that I was using to test a bigger one, an aircraft. This is a framework of it that I was building on, you know, plastic printers that are 3D printers. That makes sense. See if I can find another one of those here. Those are the best ones there. Let's go into via drive. It's called via, meaning by way of, vortexual insertion, acceleration, via. Just thought I'd explain that because that's definitely what I've called them. Let me see if it's in the Halo briefing here. Oh, yeah, boy, there's some neat. Yeah, there's some neat things here that some of my test models. I'll just show you some of these. Let me just throw them down here into. And not only that one. Yeah. this one here as well. Oh, yeah, and there's another one. Yeah, and this probably tell you a bit, too. Okay, they're all coming now. Hang on. So it's Christmas, I know. Okay, now, this is what a typical smoke ring looks like. If you puff it like this, it curls back around and forms an entrainment drive. That's a toroidal propulsion. Okay, using it in cars, I figured out a way to take this stuff coming, over the top, recirculating through a cowling at the back, through side channels on the body frame to form an envelope of air around the car. I did include that in the discussion with them, but again, to no use. Let's see here, figure 11.
You got one of those in your garage. I know you do. UFO. I'm telling you, you walk into Stan's garage and you're going to see a UFO. Go, okay.
No, that's all right. Let's see. I'm trying to find some of the others that I threw up there. They came in out of sequence here. Yeah. Okay. We know all that. Let's see if we can. Oh, come on. Let's see here. Where is that stuff? That's got to go back in there. Okay. Let's see. Those were smoke rings and that. Oh, probably it didn't all come in. Sorry, I have to talk to myself like that to get things done. Mumbling is an old age thing.
Yeah, I get that.
All right. I'm going to grab these again and try to pass them into that program. Talking about, working models and things. We've got that one there. We've got that one there. Already looked at that one. That'd be good.
And folks, if you're listening to this on any of the audio platforms, go over to Hagman PI or Rumble, our channel on Rumble, and sign up for Rumble, because this is invaluable stuff. I mean, this is incredible things that we're seeing here.
Yeah. And these are some of the ones that this one's about, let me see over there. It was about 22 inches or so in diameter out of styrofoam, or not styrofoam, out of urethane foam that we put through an NC machine to cut it and stuff. You'll see here that this saucer shape has a high speed motor to drive the propeller, a GPS tracking system up here, batteries, and return home type Wi-Fi commands here. And this was just the inside of one of the big models. Here's another look at it here, how it all screwed together. These are all illustrations I made for the people that were putting it all together for me.
Man, this is a treat. I did not expect this. How great is this? And see, folks, if you sign up for his monthly meetings, I'm telling you right now, this is the kind of stuff you'll see. Along with some Coke bottles and other things. I digress.
Yeah. No, that's true. Let's see, what is this? I've got a show on my Stan Dayo show on the Thursday, I think it is. Was that the 16th or something like that? Anyway, my weekly show's on Thursday night, and I intend to put some of these in there because, hey, they're fun,
Man. And you worked with Dr. Tesla, right?
No, Dr. Teller's project, but I never met him.
Dr. Teller. No, sorry.
Yeah, well, people asked if I'd met him. I said no. I mean, he's like, trying to meet the president when you're a private in the Army type thing. There's a big difference between us. But anyway, no. Right. I'm just going to pull those things off. There's just so much, that I've played with. I mean, in addition to finding Atlantis and the Garden of Eden and things like that, well, I had my science side and wrote books and tried to share as much of this as I could. I remember talking to Captain Durasov on the Alcyone, Cousteau's Alcyone, that didn't have real sails. It had cylindrical metal sails that stood up in the middle of the boat. We were talking about taking that one into the Persian Gulf at the time of the Gulf War. We were going to image around the coast of Saudi Arabia and the island of Oman, I think it was. But we couldn't get the Alcyone in there for fear of losing it, because bad guys over in the Persian Gulf region were putting in bubble mines, which are submerged mines that are triggered by a ship coming over the top of it. And when it does, it triggers the thing to blow up a big bubble of air right up to the middle of your ship. And the air bubble pushing it up like that breaks your ship in half, you know. And so that's why we couldn't go in. But anyway, wow. We were trying to do that. I was talking with President Clinton's cousin on board the Kitty Hawk. He was the electronics officer, and we were going to get him to image with the stuff they had on board the ship to look for the clues that we were looking for you know the Atlantis, and we didn't get to do it because of the risk to the ship. But it was good. I got to entertain President Clinton's cousin at home, and when they docked over in Perth in Fremantle. And it was fun. We had good conversations.
Wow. Unbelievable download of knowledge, folks. Stan Dale, standale.com is his website. And again, you know, the investigation finding the Garden of Eden, fantastic, folks. Grab it. You will not be disappointed. Really, everything he offers, definitely grab, as well as Dare to Prepare, which I think could not be more relevant than today. Anything you want to know about preparation, it's in that book. And Stan's book, Cosmic Conspiracy, really a great book as well. But the real essence, if you want to support Stan's work and maybe we should have a campaign and get you down to Mar-a-Lago with all of these drawings and such.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, that'd be nice. But
I'm telling you.
Who knows? Yeah. Hey, there's two more pictures there in the screen share thing, Eric. And these are, I'm actually having people across the planet who are private researchers. I'm advising them what components to buy, what values, et cetera, to build a gravitic coil. And that's the one that we use, that shape and that design in the 30-foot diameter flying saucers back in the late 60s. And this is just, you know, interacting coils at right angles with a common inductor core there. And this was the original one that was done in the 50s by a friend of mine's navigator on his SAC aircraft, where you have a vertical coil and a horizontal coil with a bite out, an iron washer with a bite, an iron rod down the middle, and these are connected in a way that is similar to this one here. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting on top of all this stuff. I mean, how much of it does our government know? How much are they allowed to know? I mean, this is incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough.
So, okay, that last picture was, what does that do? That last picture, what is that?
Notice this is a vertical coil and a horizontal coil. And the one for the ships was one big one. And this was is the one that was on a pole in the original form. For teaching people how to use such a thing, is I use this kind of a coil structure, one of these, for them to be able to generate a gravitic field, because it stores energy and will become lethal if they're not careful. So building this big one like this is for later on down the project. So I'm giving them a safe way to test to generate a gravitic field around just one set of these, and that's in this form here.
Wow. Okay.
Been busy.
Very interesting. Yeah. My goodness. like I said, I'm pretty sure you've got like a UFO parked in your garage and you go out there and terrorize everyone.
I wish. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's fantastic. So, okay. So to recap, yeah, we got some issues with the sun. We better kind of take a look at it. The social media, the X platform, talking about this, not wrong. They were correct. You're looking at a 5 to 7 day window at the moment, puts you around, January 20th, which would be around the time of the inauguration. Bad things could happen. I don't know. But if it doesn't, praise God, right? I mean, it's...
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
we know that solar emissions do affect human behavior and psychotic behavior. The French studied this in the 70s, and divorce rates go up when you have intense radiation from sun, solar storms, but this is going to be the grandfather of all of them right now, what's coming.
So we can expect wife and husband or spousal beatings, and I don't think humanity needs any help from the sun. But I want to thank you, man. I mean, what a treat this was, having you share all of that information, all of the pictures. How great was that, folks? Stan, I want to thank you for your expertise and your knowledge and all that you do. I really do. I really appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you. I'm trying to share that with everybody so that there's more people working on this stuff.
Man, I wouldn't even know where to begin. And thank God there are people like you out there that, you're a cut above. That's for sure. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate you doing the show, too. You get well now.
All right. Thank you, Stan Dale from standale.com. How great was that, folks, huh? Did my ears just pop or did I lose audio? No, I guess I'm okay. All right. Thanks, Stan. All right. Again, folks, make sure you support Stan, standale.com, and become part of his monthly meetings. And this is the kind of stuff you'll see. It'll blow your mind, and it's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun. All right. With me now is Randy Taylor. RT@HagmanPI.com is how to get a hold of him. Randy Taylor_USA. Boy, I better be on my mark here. There we go. Randy Taylor_USA on X or Twitter. And we're going to be talking about a few things. Of course, the hearings. You heard Stan talk about the Hegseth hearings today. Now, I think I put in the show prep here. Did I put it or did I say, nah, you know what? Yes. Video 2. Okay. So, you know, you can go on social media and you can find all of the videos about the women yipping and yapping in his ears, right? And really doing all kinds of stuff. But, well, before I get to video 2, bring Randy on. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic tonight.
You're looking good.
And did you watch the confirmation questions there today for Pete Hegseth?
I watched all 4.5 hours of it.
I watched the latter half of it. You know what? These Democrats suck. They've got a guy dressed as a girl, as an admiral, and they're going to give Pete Hegseth some crap, really. And they kept hitting him on, well, you don't have enough this. You're not like a CEO because you've only ever run 100 employees. Blah, 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 blah. For a bunch of people that supposedly believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're their own fallacy. They are their own irony. And that little fat chick from Illinois that went off about my soldier's creed over my desk when I'm in Walter Reed Hospital. You know, this man deployed six times.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to hear about your soldier's creed, dear chubby. I don't want to hear about it, okay? Now go out and run some PT. Move it. On your feet, Missy. I couldn't believe her going on about this soldier's creed. I don't know. Hegseth was so cool, man, because I would have lost my bananas, man.
I would have thrown
something at somebody. I could not believe the way they were talking to him.
It's sad, isn't it? And
disrespecting him.
But my takeaway from that entire 4.5 hour. Okay, my takeaway is this is how they will treat President Trump. Okay.
It's coming.
Yes. And you know something? There were two retired generals that were just identified as being consultants for the left to specifically for the military to shut down President Trump. In other words, work against whatever his goals are. So I think going into this, I do believe that we're going to see, I think we're going to prevail on Hegseth, but expect this every single nomination.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what I did like about Hegseth and what a point that a couple of the Republicans made? When I owned my own company, I by no means in the world understood absolutely everything about an air conditioner, a heat pump, a furnace. Right. No. Okay. And very few men in this world honestly do. Okay. But you know what? I surrounded myself with people that did.
Yes.
And that's what you've what got a leader to do. Does.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what Hegseth plans on doing. That's what him and Donald Trump have discussed. And that's what those idiots on the left side of the aisle couldn't get through their freaking beans today. Was that he was going to surround himself with the right people. Does he need to know how to go down and count combat boots in a warehouse? No, he does not. He knows what they are. And he knows who to send to do it. And that's the part that pissed me off about all of it. Because the people they've put up before weren't qualified either. You know what I'm saying? And I just sat there and watched that and I thought, unbelievable.
You know.
And it's supposed to be a civilian that's in charge of this anyway. He's the one that's going to be leaning on the generals, calling on the generals, and getting rid of generals.
Yes.
That's the job.
The technical questions asked of him by one of these senators, he answered everyone spot on, with respect to weapon. Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, I have to say, I watched it after the fact. So, I didn't watch it live. I watched some of it, I think the end live and then the rest. But anyway, one of the Senator Mullen, I think one of the big things, especially with the leftist lunatics, you've got accusations of sexual improprieties against you. You've got this, you got that, drinking and so on. And I just love Senator Mullen. I loved his line of questioning. It's 3.5 minutes. It's worth every minute of it. Folks, this is cut two in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. And this is the only one I pulled out about this because, frankly, you can see. You can stumble on social media and see the ridiculous questions. But we'll play cut two. Boy, it's worth every second of it. Here it is, cut two.
You know, there's a lot of talk going about talking about qualifications and then about us hiring him if we are the board. But there's a lot of senators here I wouldn't have on my board because there is no qualifications except your age. And you got to be living in the state and you're a citizen of the United States to be a senator. Other than the fact, we got to convince a lot of people to vote for us. And then when we start talking about qualifications for if you're qualified for it, could the chairman tell me what the qualifications are for the Secretary of Defense? Mr. Chairman, could you tell me what the qualifications are for the Secretary of Defense?
I'd be happy for you to do that.
Let me read it for you because I Googled
I was getting some advice from my second in command.
Yeah, but I'm just making a point because there's a lot about qualifications. And I think it's so hypocritical of senators, especially on the other side of the aisle, be talking about his qualifications, not being able to lead the Secretary of Defense, and yet your qualifications aren't any better. You guys aren't any more qualified to be the senator than I'm qualified to be the senator, except we're lucky enough to be here. But let me read you what the qualifications of the Secretary of Defense is, because I Googled it, and I Googled it and went through a lot of different sites, and really it's hard to see. But in general, the U.S. Secretary of Defense position is filled by a civilian. That's it. If you have served in the U.S. Army forces and have been in the service for, you have to be retired for at least 7 years, and Congress can weigh that. And then there's questions that the senator from Massachusetts brought up about serving on a board inside the military industry, and yet your own secretary that you all voted for, Secretary of Austin, we had to vote on a waiver because he stepped off the board of Raytheon. But I guess that's okay. Oops. Because that's a Democrat Secretary of Defense. But you so quickly forget about that. And then Senator Kaine, or I guess I better use the senator from Virginia, starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have. And then how many senators do you know have got a divorce before cheating on their wives? Did you ask them to step down? No. But it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy, because the man's made a mistake. And you want to sit there and say that he's not qualified? Give me a joke. I mean, it is so ridiculous that you guys hold yourself as this higher standard and you forget you got a big plank in your eye. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. And Jennifer, thank you for loving him through that mistake. Because the only reason why I'm here and not in prison is because my wife loved me too. I have changed, but I'm not perfect. But I found somebody that thought I was perfect. And for whatever reason, you love Pete, and I don't know why. But just like our Lord and Savior forgave me, my wife's had to forgive me more than once, too, and I'm sure you've had to forgive him, too.
Yeah, I thought that was perhaps one of the best clips.
That is a good man there.
Yeah.
That is a good man, and just as the Lord Jesus forgave him.
Exactly. And you know, Pete Hegseth thanked his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ several times during his testimony.
And how many of these people in Congress and the Senate have had to have their sexual escapades the person paid off?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? How dare they even go there?
Oh, yeah.
And talking like that is going to open that can of worms.
And I think it's
time.
It's exactly. Thank you for saying that.
It's time.
The money doled out by the taxpayers to pay off plaintiffs in sexual abuse cases within Congress, both sides, both houses. Both chambers, that is. I've got to say, we deserve those numbers and those names.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was an incredible thing to hear today. Yeah. And I was glad when the Republicans did speak up, because they pretty much slammed it right back up the Democrats' asses every time.
Yeah. Yeah, and that Maisie from Hawaii, I'm not sure if she just has a speaking problem or if she was half in the bag when she was asking questions, but boy, she was slurring quite a bit. And then you had Pocahontas, you know.
Now tell me that one. That is a woman that lies every other sentence. That is the woman that says she was part Indian. Like, the rest of us are part Indian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She lies constantly, publicly. And then gets caught 2 months later, and the people up in her area, wherever that is, up in New England, they need to have their voting cards taken away.
Well,
because I can't believe they keep electing that piece of trash. She is trash.
Voters elected a trans.
I saw that. Yeah.
I mean, how
DEI is on its way out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. So that caught my attention. But I think we have to. Well, let me ask this. I thought, and erroneously so. I had to get ready. I was on Wisconsin Christian TV news today. I'll put the link up at HagmanPI.com. I suggest everyone watch that. But it was my understanding that they were going to go well into the evening. Are they planning on coming back for Hegseth? Do you know that?
It's concluded. It's done.
It's done, right?
Yeah. It's over.
It surprised me that it ended there, as opposed to it being dragged out longer. So I do suspect that this is going to go very, very well. Pam Bondi is tomorrow, I believe. And she's the one I don't think you want to mess with. She will cram it right up their backsides.
She's very sharp.
Yes.
That's a sharp young lady.
Okay, so about that, there is an issue about that where she flip-flopped, and RT, you tell me what you think about this. She flip-flopped on the NDAA, FISA, you know, all of the secretive warrants and stuff like that. She was dead set against it, all right? Was it Pam Bondi or was it, am I talking about, am I thinking of Tulsi Gabbard? Oh my goodness!
Bondi did flip on something, but
I think it was Bondi. My apologies, but I think perhaps she was not going to get appointed or confirmed if she would have held her position. I think that maybe this is a conversion of convenience. Perhaps I'm just spitballing here. I don't know.
Sometimes you got to PS to get the job.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyway. All right. I want to hit you with this, Randy Taylor. Unless you've got something more pressing, I want to hit you with this.
Hit me with something there.
All right. So, we've got 6 days, 5 days in the wake up before we swear President Trump into office. You and I spoke about this last night, I think, about the threats to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm telling you right now, there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes. Now, one of the big issues that I'm hearing from, I had one phone call today that I was able to take, and it was from somebody who is behind the scenes, and this person was talking about how they're going to remove and when they're going to start removing illegals from this country. Okay, that was a big conversation within the Trump transition team.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, the answer I got, and it was more of a, hey, you want to know something kind of cool?
They were beating around that today, kind of in the last part of that confirmation hearing about U.S. troops on the ground. That's where that chick kept heading, but Hexeth wouldn't fall for it.
Exactly, yes. And by the way, folks in the chat, do you know the last time the Insurrection Act was invoked and by whom? By which president? And the last time, let me see if, and Eric, if you can cue up video one, but let me see in the chat. Let me see if anyone can nail this for me. Any players in the chat? Can you tell me the last? Don't look it up. Come on. Last president to invoke the Insurrection Act. The name and the year. I'll just settle for the year. Abraham Lincoln, 1861. Good try, Steelers, Mom. No idea. God love you.
When was the last time I was used?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Where troops were actually on American soil. Military troops, U.S. military troops on American soil. I'll tell you. It was in 1992, George H.W. Bush. Thank you, Megaton 13 Avenger.
What the hell for?
The riots, the Rodney King riots.
Oh.
So, okay. All right. I just thought that was very interesting. And yet they were kept in the background. And a lot of people don't know this. And, you know, look, I get it. The only reason I know this is because I'm like a potato. I just kind of sit there and read. Okay. but anyway.
Potato.
Yeah. Just with a little bit of a brain.
Um, Potato in a
potato
couch.
In a sock.
Hey, I'll bring back that picture from Stan. I know. I know you know. Okay. All right. So here's a little tidbit I got. They're already doing it. You have got it, and folks, I'm sharing this with you. You can take it or leave it, believe it or not, but they're already doing it. They're already mass rounding up in certain areas of the country, rounding up illegals. And it's not going to be a secret as of probably right now. I don't know. Maybe it's already made the news or it's making the news. They are the Border Patrol as well as ICE have their orders already and have certain locations already identified. So as soon as President Trump is sworn in, bam, they're out the door. I mean, as soon as that order is given, that they are already there, and it's going to be like a lightning bolt come down from the sky. And right now, there's probably half the country covered, is it's my understanding.
We should start a series, you know, like Border Patrol. We have all kinds of action going on.
Why don't you and I play Border Patrol agents?
There you go. You drive, I'll shoot.
Oh, come on, man.
We can switch.
I'll take all the potato sacks.
Take all the fun stuff away. Well, Eric can drive. And
there you go.
And you and I can both hang out like Bonnie and Clyde.
There we go. Potato truck.
No, we could make ice deliveries. Remember the old ice trucks? Never mind. No.
I don't remember the old ice trucks.
I don't even remember those. Okay. I have an ice box. Here, put the block right there. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I saw it
on the Three Stooges once.
You can't beat that for humor, by the way.
Awesome. Red in chat.
Yeah.
The tater wagon.
Tater wagon.
There you go.
I love it. Well, okay. Here's cut one, because what is happening? Before I'll explain this, set this up. Biden has been doing, he has been exempting certain classes of people. Okay. So Biden DHS, and this is also, well, primarily me, Orcus, along with Biden and his handlers, are exempting thousands of illegals from terror-related entry restrictions. I'm not sure if I see, yeah, from terror-related entry restrictions. In other words, it's a door. It's a door that's open, no problem. And what Biden and Mayorkas have done is they have deliberately allowed known terror-related persons, especially the Venezuelan gang TDA, into the country. And now Homan is faced, and President Trump is faced with their expulsion. This is what they're working on right this minute. And I was so glad to hear that today. That was the only tidbit I was able to get from anyone today. But here's cut one. Folks, it's 4 minutes long. I know it's long, 4 minutes, but please listen to this, both the problem and what's being done about it. Here's cut one.
Our Tom Homan says ICE is ready to track down criminal migrants.
They know exactly who they're going to arrest. They know exactly where they're probably likely to find them. And they have a lot of information at rest. Other people that are there that may be illegal, they'll handle by case-by-case basis.
Okay.
The concentration, I want to be clear, on some public safety threats. We got to put the safety of the American people first. We've had too many young women murdered and raped and burned alive by members of Venezuelan gangs. They need to be a priority under this administration. They're going to be a priority starting day one, and they will be deported.
Ron Vitello is a former U.S. Border Patrol chief and former acting ICE director. He joins me now. Ron, great to see you. Homan makes clear yet again that this will be targeted removal of criminals from our country. Why would sanctuary jurisdictions object to that?
Good morning, Todd. Yeah, sanctuary jurisdictions, that's reckless, destructive policy. And we see it all over the place, right? New York technically is a sanctuary. The whole entire state of California, many jurisdictions throughout the United States. It's against the interest of public safety in those locations. It's against the interest of the rule of law. And so ICE, the men and women who do this work, the frontline at ERO, are very capable of doing this. They do it professionally. They do it safely every single day. So scaling up these opportunities within jurisdictions that are sanctuaries and those that are not, they will be successful in this because there are many criminals who have already been ordered deported in the United States, about 1.3 million who have already seen a judge in immigration court, have been ordered deported because they came into the country illegally or are illegal and also committed crimes. And so taking those people off the streets makes us all safer. And so the sooner it starts, the better off we all are.
I'm glad you said the word soon. How soon after Trump takes office do you expect to see results?
This is a day one capability. There are men and women at ERO, at ICE, in every field location that has fugitive operations teams. They are probably gathering targets now and can move out on this opportunity or the operation as soon as they can. And then there's going to need to be a scaling up because this last 4 years, about 11 million encounters at the border in which CBP itself, the DHS, the secretary said 85% of which have been released into the United States. So there's a lot of people here that need to be removed and sent home. And so it's a day one capability. And I'm sure it'll start right after 2 o'clock.
Meantime, Mexican state police have discovered a secret border tunnel running from Mexico to Arizona. Texas troopers also arresting 4 confirmed Tren de Aragua members who attempted to illegally cross the border on New Year's Eve. Focusing on this tunnel for a second, these cartels will not go away quietly. We know that just because Donald Trump was elected president. But how much damage do you expect Trump to be able to inflict on these cartels?
Hold on a second. What do you think, guys, and RT, those four, they're just looking to go to college up here.
Yeah.
They're just looking to be, you know, improve themselves.
I would have filled the tunnels in with water while they were in there.
I thought of you when I saw that earlier today. I was thinking you,
I'm so
I was thinking you'd use concrete.
There's that too. you have to do it like the Israelis do to Hamas and all when they know there's tunnels. Blow the tunnels while they're in there. I mean, I'm so sick of this. Jeez, I don't give a damn about these people, Doug. I really don't.
Not the
ones that came in illegally. They have forsaken our laws. The first thing they did when they walked in this country was break the law.
And then, you know, find somebody to traffic and then rape and kill. And it's ridiculous. And we don't have to play the rest of it. The rest of it is, it's all good.
They've made it to where I don't even care about the families that have come over. I don't care.
Well, again, do it right.
Yeah.
Do it properly.
What was wrong with the gate?
Well, yeah.
You know, why are you paying coyotes and all this? People are too stupid to be here. Why didn't you use the gate? That'd be my only question. Why didn't you use the gate? If you wanted to be an American so bad.
Why didn't you use the front door, not the back window?
I'm sorry, I have no respect for them.
No, I 100% agree with you.
No tolerance.
No. I do want to show you this. Eric the Tech, I just sent you this. I forgot to put this in the show notes. This is the latest Biden. I don't even know how to describe this. when I see, if it wasn't 5 more days, I'd be in tears. Of course, I already am, you know, into it. Now, watch Biden here. Let me pull this up to make sure I've got the right context. Eric the Tech, you got it right, man. I didn't send it off to some.
Yep.
Okay, good. This is Biden's got no idea where he's at, what he's doing. He signed this new national monument into law. Folks, watch this. It's 20 some seconds long. Watch this. Just watch Biden and laugh, cry, rend your garments. It doesn't matter. But this is what is going out the door. And while you're watching this, think about the people who covered this up. And don't tell me that this his decline just rapidly occurred. But RT, you better swallow that because you might laugh. Okay, so I want to make sure there you go.
All clear.
All right, here we go.
Establishment of the Highlands National Monument. Here we go. Got to fill this in. I know, Santino, I'm trying. Why, the day of, in this hand, you'll fill in the dates here, guys? All right.
The 14th, sir.
No, I know that, but I don't want to.
Yeah, it makes you proud. I know, and no telling how long he's been that way. They've been hiding it. They've been using body doubles and everything else. This man hasn't worked a full 4 years.
Okay, answer me this about body doubles. Folks, I get this. I mean, I'm sure because...
Well, know that. We've seen them, but you know they are.
Right, okay. I mean, there are certain things that do happen that are legitimate. Yes, there are body doubles for certain politicians in the line of COG, okay? Mm-hmm. Trump has one, but not all are for nefarious reasons. I mean, they have, for example, every year they practice a presidential funeral in Washington, D.C. I don't know how many people know that, but they do. But, RT, explain to me why, if they would trot out body doubles for Biden, why isn't at least one somewhat connected to reality? I mean... I'm just asking.
If you look at Biden up close, he looks like the kid playing the banjo on Deliverance, the way his eyes are, you know, and the way his skin is. It's just weird.
It's my cousin.
You see the other doubles, and we watched them throughout the presidency, that, you know, jogging and riding a bike. Biden can't make it to the toilet all right at night without help. You know what I'm saying? This has just been a nothing but a big lie. Huge lie. It's been This has been a mockery of that office.
But why? In Biden's case, I could see if they'd like, you know.
Well, because he had Harris for vice president, and there was really no way to move her up. And when I say too stupid, too stupid.
Yeah, look, Harris.
I'll go with that. She's just too freaking stupid.
And you know, if we
that crackle laugh, it's made your skin crawl.
But by the way, those people who were with us the first hour, Ossian, Asean, okay, not it's Asean, Asean. You don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't worry about it. Okay.
There you go. That looks just like Biden. Slap a shirt and a tie on there, guy. You know what I mean?
What you got a picture of my younger brother up there for?
And I've seen pictures of this guy today. He's really cool. He's living, I think, in the southern state.
You think?
Not by joke, but, you know. And looks totally normal.
No,
he plays this good, but you see that weird shape of the eye here?
Yeah.
That's that weird shape that the real Biden has. It's a weird shape when you look at him up close. It's hard to explain. It's like a half circle.
Yes.
Not like the rest of our eyes. It's more like a half circle. It's just really strange. And then you see the body doubles, and it's like, no, not even close. And on the body doubles, ears are higher or lower. you know what I'm saying? They don't line up with the jaw. They don't line up with the corners of the eyes.
Right.
We know there's a lot of body doubles. In his case, I'm going to say he probably had more than the typical president does. Sing it, baby. I love it.
I've lost all control, folks.
One of my favorite songs.
I've lost all control.
I love it. That's awesome, Eric. Thank you. Let me tell you a little story. When I married my wife, my lovely bride,
I was there.
That was the second wedding, the ceremonial one. I married her in Florida, actually.
Sneak.
I married her down there, and then I brought her up to Canada and had a big ceremony, which Doug attended.
And then,
on the way to going up north, we stopped in Tennessee, and we were considering that our honeymoon. So we're sitting there, we get all settled in the cabin and everything. And I said, hey, you want to watch a movie? And I'm just like, yeah, sure. So what movie do I plug in? Deliverance. I kid you not. I thought she was going to skin me alive. Oh, we still laugh about that today. She's there in Tennessee and she already thinks it. You know, don't get me wrong. She likes Tennessee, but we did see some strange things in Tennessee. And God, I love the people there. They're so down to earth. They're beautiful people.
I've never met better people than in the
really
southern states.
You know what?
Yep.
They open your door to you and take you in if you needed it.
100%.
Right on, man. I like it. I like it. One of my favorite movies, too.
Oh, Eric the Tech is out of control.
Ned Beatty had the hardest part.
Yeah.
You remember? Yeah. They actually did a song about that called Ned Beatty Had the Hardest Part. And it done to something like Tom Petty's, one of Tom Petty's songs. Ned Beatty had the hardest part. Oh, God.
This has devolved into something I don't know.
We have totally. This is why you don't go out drinking with me, Doug and Eric.
And you know, I stopped drinking 30 years ago, I guess.
It degrades into nothing fast.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
We would get escorted out.
Yes. Okay. But by the way, speaking of I won't go there. But did you happen to see the Nancy Mace Jasmine Crockett throwdown in today?
No.
People in the chat, did you see that? I mean, you talking about entertaining stuff. Eric the Tech, I'll send this to you unless you can grab it faster than I can send it to you.
I like Nancy Mace. I disagree with her on one point so far ever that I've come up with, but I really like that woman. She'll call you out.
I'll say this. I like her, okay, but you know how you. I just have a. I don't know when. My wife and I were talking about this. When people start getting like egos, I don't know. But anyway, I like her. Everyone's got an ego. Everyone's got some. Mm-hmm.
The only issue I ever had with her is she thinks that Derek Chauvin actually killed Foreman. What's his name? George Floyd.
Right.
She actually feels that he killed him. I called her out on Twitter about it, but she never responded. Now, she has liked some of my posts before. I've actually gotten likes from her.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like her. I like that Marjorie Taylor Greene. I like Bobart, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, no one's perfect. So I don't know, but I thought entertainment wise, I just Eric the Tech, you should have it by now.
Oh, cool!
But this was something. You have to listen kind of close because there's a lot of over talk. But I've got to say, wow, you know, and if you study history, you know that there have been fist fights on the floor. There have been brawls, duels. So we're not like,
and drunkenness
and drunken public. Yes. Hey, that reflecting pool looks good. But anyway,
they would definitely remember me if I showed up in the back.
Folks, sometimes you just have to laugh about this, right? Yes. I mean, you really do. In
our team, we couldn't make this stuff up. There's no way.
No, no. You know,
this is reality. Painful
Representative Jasmine Crockett called Nancy Mace, well, it's described as ghetto talk, okay? This is 32 seconds in length. This is during a committee hearing, or I'm not even sure which committee this was. Does it really matter? No. But Mace challenged Crockett to a fight in Congress after. Well, you can.
Right on.
I mean,
I love her.
Listen carefully to this because you won't find this entertainment, you know, on Netflix or whatever you might be watching. This is real life entertainment. Eric the Tech, if you're ready, at the ready. Go ahead.
Somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, 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 so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen. I want y'all
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether or
Do not,
not
call me a child. I am no
I,
child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out
I am a grown
which
woman.
Of those emails
I have broken more glass ceilings than you
have. I am reclaiming my time.
You will not do that.
Order.
I am not a child.
I am reclaiming my time.
If you want to take it outside.
Mr. Chairman, the committee is not
okay.
in order.
Order.
Point of order. Point of order.
Order.
Good old Nancy Mace whipping that stick.
I love her, man. Take it outside.
Whatever. But who talks like that as a member of the House?
You mean ghetto girl?
I mean, yeah. And the swinging the hair back and really
ghetto. That is pure ghetto. Dog.
Oh man, yeah,
They say you can take a woman out of the ghetto, but you can't take a ghetto out of a woman. You look
How
across
true.
The Demo- go look across the Democrat Party. You see all kinds of instances of it. Garbage.
I'll tell you something. I
classless hoes.
And you know what's worse? Though or some of the comments on the social media post, it's just wow. But anyway, I thought that was a little bit humorous. I don't know. Since we're going down that avenue, a couple of serious things that we really need to touch on, folks. And thanks for your patience. I know that. I know it. We kind of went off the rails here. Jack Smith. I want everyone to really understand how bad this Jack Smith character is. And then one more thing about China, and then we'll wrap it up for the evening. But Jack Smith, he's a criminal. And he needs to be locked away. You understand Jack Smith actually has sentenced people to death at The Hague. Okay. Jack Smith is not a nice guy. So this is video 3, unmarked. This is the covert video, Eric the Tech. I know how much you like that. But this is about a little over 2.5 minutes long. Check this out. Go ahead. Fire it, Will.
Well, I love that you pointed out that it was dropped at 1 a.m. People always do that when they want to kind of hide the goods. Jack Smith is really a failed fiction writer. I mean, that is what it is at this point. I'm not sure. I'm so happy that we won't have to listen to him anymore. I am hoping that Kash Patel does something as the director of the FBI, because it seems to me that Jack Smith has tampered with evidence and he, in fact, brought incriminating props to the Mar-a-Lago raid. So he could be charged with a crime for up to 2 to 10 years penalty. So I hope that Kash Patel does that. I think he's been in contempt of a judicial order. So let's see what happens, you know, if the tide will turn, tables will turn on Jack Smith.
You know, the other thing that I'm
wondering is, could you go after him for leaking information in this case? Is it a crime to leak the information? It was a constant string of leaks to, I think, rig another election. And that was to make President Trump look bad, to get people not to vote for him.
It is. It is a crime. Those things are really hard to prove because you have to show the chain that the person did it. It's quite difficult. I think there's real other crimes there, though. I mean, he literally deleted evidence. He brought props to the Mar-a-Lago raid. Also, 18 U.S.C. 242, right? That law is a civil rights probe under the deprivation of rights of under color of law. When they deprived me of my freedom, they deprived John Strand and 1,500 other Americans of their freedom. He could be investigated for civil rights violation under 18 U.S.C. 242, deprivation of rights under the color of law. I think there's a lot that can happen under a righteous DOJ and a righteous FBI.
Dr. Gold, I haven't done this in a while, but do you want to see the prop that I have used in the past? These are the 31 pages that would represent 31 pages in a file box. See this right here?
Yeah.
31 pages of classified documents. Do you remember all the boxes and photos that he released of boxes to the ceiling? But there was 31 pages that was the indictment. Well, that's 31 pages in one box. I haven't done that in a while.
That's an amazing prop. I'm so glad that you do that, you show that, because it's really minuscule, and presidents tend to take papers with them. I mean, this is kind of a known thing. You know, this is the weaponized government where you had people in power that were just going after people based on their political beliefs. This is not America. I really do look forward to a righteous DOJ and a righteous FBI investigating people who weaponize government against ordinary American citizens. I also find it really alarming that Jack Smith had the gall, the arrogance, the hubris to say to the American people that Trump would have been convicted. The only way you can say that is if you rigged the jury or you yourself were completely omniscient. So he can't say what would happen in the future. It's, you know, that he honestly is a failed fiction.
So there's three things here. Mm-hmm. The last thing she said, and I've had professional, I mean, I'm talking Fortune 100 company clients who've hired, retain my services, our services, for specific purposes, investigative purposes. And always be wary of the client that says, we expect you to identify the person responsible for this, because there's no guarantees in an honest investigation. I'm telling you right now. So when he's saying, okay, he could have been mm-hmm. convicted, there's no way of knowing that.
Mm-hmm. And it's like saying, I promised to catch the killer. You can't say it.
Exactly. Precisely. Folks, think about this, because sans a tilted, biased investigation or a seeded investigation, mm-hmm. yeah. What you can't is, make any promises.
They've already got the end here, and now they're going to write the book.
That's right.
You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And he was brought in as a hired gun. That's the crap of this all. He wasn't even working out of that office. He was brought in to be a hired gun. Let me tell you what. If they don't prosecute him, I hope somebody catches up with him on the street. I really do.
I really think.
Jack Smith, I don't give a damn about you, you son of a bitch.
I hope
somebody catches up with you, Jack.
I hope so as well. And I have no.
I'm sick and tired of these people, Doug, that think they can elude the law. You're not getting away, Jack. Somebody's going to find you, buddy.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
This guy just torques me no end. And I'll tell you what, all of this lawfare against President Trump, what bothers me, man, is what if it was one of us? We would be so screwed to the wall.
Well, it's already, I mean, how many are in the gulag, J6?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
How many?
I can't wait to get those people out. I cannot wait to get those people out. And
nor can
absolutely. And I mean legally terrorize the people that put them in there.
Exactly.
I want to see you scared.
Yep.
You people that did this, I want to see you scared.
There's nothing more satisfying than the look of terror in someone's eyes when they've done done wrong.
And they know justice is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like when you walk in the room and you tell them, the sirens, they're for you.
Yeah.
That look of fear.
Yeah, I've seen that look. Mm-hmm. And I've also had that look for different reasons.
That's when we look at each other and go, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Time to go.
Where did Eric park?
Hey, look over there.
Where's Mr. Potato?
Yeah.
In the potato wagon. We got to go.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and the second thing about that, and I'm glad the reason I played that is because of the visual of the 31 pages. When the world saw all of the boxes overflowing, papers, and everything, it was all a bunch.
And when you think about it, okay, we were talking about classified documents, but then you find classified documents also in Joe Biden's garage. Nobody did a thing about it. And here's
when he was a senator.
And here's the thing about that. Mar-a-Lago has got far higher security protocols than Joe Biden's Corvette garage. I'm serious. Everything they've done to Trump, and they called it legal. Yep. I say we keep it. Let's say it's legal and do it to every one of these when they're out of office. Nail them to the wall. Let Biden fight all this. See how long he lasts.
Well, it would be the Biden. I don't think Biden's going to last a year.
No. And honestly, Donald Trump's too nice a guy.
He might be, but hopefully Cash Patel can pick up the mantle. Yeah. You know,
hopefully people around him will say,
or Bondi or whoever. This has got to stop. But so the visual. So we know we've been lied to. And the third thing is Dr. Simone Gold. I mean, what they put her through and what they put others like her through, from being persona non grata on the no-fly list, just so much. Folks, we have got to take our nation back. And, you know, we've got to do a lot of repenting. We've got to do a lot. Look, we have to turn really this country over to God.
We got to get right with God.
Yes. But you know what? We have to fight righteously. And when I say fight, I'm not talking about taking up arms. Don't bust my door in. So there's that. We only have a few minutes left. I'm going to hit one thing, and then I want to talk to you about something personal. Let's go to page one in the show notes here. This is new satellite pictures from China spark invasion panic. And folks, I don't know how many people saw this, but time is running short. And this is End Times headlines, but this is a compilation of various other from other news stories. But recent satellite imagery has identified the emergence of 3 to 5 new special and unusual barges at a specific shipyard located in southern China. Now, typically, these barges are commonplace at various riverside and coastal construction projects. But when you put them where they are, in connection to Taiwan, you see some things kind of shaping up. Look, there might be, we know there are 5 new special purpose barges, which appear tailor-made for amphibious assault. Where do you think that might be? I would say, Taiwan. And I think we're seeing something here, and we better be paying attention to this. I do believe that China is fixing on making a move against Taiwan. Will it be before?
Could be before Trump takes office. Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. This is something to watch, and
I'm so done with the Chinese. We need to just nuke them. Be done with them.
Well, no, we can't be throwing nukes around. That's not good for anybody. Well,
I just these people have been nothing but heartache for the United States.
But they were invited in by the Biden crime family. They were invited in by Clinton.
So are the illegals. It doesn't mean I want them.
That's very true.
And I don't have any heart for them. None. Yeah. I'm sorry. This has really turned me into a cynic, all of this. And all I can do is pull up my defenses and say, sorry, I got nothing to do with you. I got no feelings for you. I have this switch. God bless me with this switch. Okay. And I can turn my emotions on and off in a second. I was trained. Talk to him this week. Shop at his store this week. Stop in and see him this week. But next week, you might have to put a bullet in him.
Yeah.
That's what I was trained. Sorry. So I developed a switch very early in life. My folks never understood that. My first few wives didn't understand that. My wife now understands it. She understands me.
Well, back in the day, there was no PTSD therapy.
It's called Budweiser.
Exactly. Yeah. You had a bad day. You went to the bar. Mm-hmm. And generally, most days were bad. So, you
get blind, man.
Yeah. and then you go to bed and wake up and do it all over the next day. So I get that. But yeah, compartmentalizing the emotions, and that's how we dealt with it. And there it is. As we wrap up tonight, folks, I just want to touch personally with Randy Taylor. Randy, you're invited back if you want to. The first hour of tomorrow, and then maybe we can wrap it up on Friday. We know that you're facing some pretty severe health issues and surgery coming up. That's not going to be fun for you. So you're going to have some time off. So we need our fix of Randy Taylor as we can get it. But yeah. I do believe you're going to be just fine.
Yep. And I'll have therapy and things to do, but there's going to be a period of time where I'm just laying around, and I'm going to use that time to work on my book.
100%. And your book is going to be, I'm sure, a bestseller, knowing what I know and not
it's
knowing.
It's just going to be my life, man. I'm just going to put it out there because people have called me, I've been called a hero. I've been called this. I'm not. I'm a regular guy. And I want everybody that picks up this book to realize you can do it too. You've got to care about your country. You've got to care about the people about you. And just because you can't pick up a rifle and go fight doesn't mean you can't fight. We do it every day.
That's a message to everyone listening.
And think about that. It doesn't mean you have to pick up a weapon. You don't know. I was most dangerous with a computer. Yeah. The most dangerous time in my life to the enemy was with a computer.
100%. I cannot disagree with you, having seen what I've seen. Mm-hmm. But
I'm going to put photos in this book.
Oh, man. not the Speedos one.
But I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you things you've never seen.
We've seen them, but we just haven't seen them.
Doug's seen it, But the stuff I'm going to put in there, the public just hasn't seen.
Yeah.
They haven't seen.
I want you to know that I just want to publicly announce on this day, the 14th day of January, that you are appreciated. Your work has not gone unnoticed, and we appreciate you on this platform. All right.
I'm happy to be here. I'm thrilled to be here.
And we're praying for you, and we're going to work you like a rented mule between now and your date of surgery. How's that?
All right, fair enough. All right. Keep me sane.
And folks, please say a prayer for Randy Taylor, although he's going to be just fine because he's too ornery not to be. Please keep him in your prayers. With that, we are out of here. Eric Tech, right? We're gone? We're going. Going